Did you hear our good news? Smash Boombast, Forever Ago, and Charm Words were all nominated for Webby Awards, and we need your help to win. You can vote for us at brainson.org/vote. Thank you so much.
From the brains behind Brains On, it's Smash Boom Best.
The show for people with big opinions.
I'm Molly Bloom, and this is Smash Boom Best, the show where we take two things, smash them together, and ask you to decide which is best. Today, we're blasting off, leaving Earth's orbit, and grabbing front row seats to a completely out-of-this-world interplanetary smackdown. Grab some popcorn and make sure your spacesuit is fully pressurized. It's Venus versus Jupiter.
I definitely think that Venus would win.
If you wouldn't get burned up by the gases, you could probably jump into the top of Jupiter and, like, fall out, like, the bottom part.
You know, Venus is the goddess of love, so I'd have to say Venus, definitely.
Like, when you see Jupiter, you can, like, very quickly say, oh, that's Jupiter.
Only planet named after a woman? I love it. It's beautiful.
I'm gonna have to give that one to Jupiter, just because, I mean, it's the biggest planet in the solar system, which is, I mean, that's just cool by itself.
Which planet will be crowned the Smash Boom Best? Will it be the volcanic planet next door, Venus, or larger-than-life Jupiter with its trademark red spot? Thankfully, we have a very qualified judge today to help us decide. Hello, Anna.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So we thought that you would be the perfect judge for today's debate because you spend a lot of time thinking about planets.
Yes, I do. I've been, for the last few years, been doing research on exoplanets, which are planets that orbit other stars. And I've been trying to figure out whether we might be missing any planets by seeing if we can squeeze any more in between the ones that we've already found.
That is amazing. So how do you do that?
Yeah, so, you know, gravity is the thing, the same thing that pulls us out down on Earth is also the thing that keeps planets orbiting around their stars. And what I did was see if you added more planets in between ones that we'd already found. So, for example, if I was analyzing our system, one between us and Mars, then I wanted to see that if you put a planet there, whether the gravity between the planets would be so strong that it would change the orbits or the paths the planets take, or whether you could put in another planet sort of without noticing any differences. And that's how I was trying to find whether or not we might be missing planets.
Oh, my goodness. That is very impressive. And you won a prize for this work, right?
Yes, I just won the Regeneron Science Talent Search, formerly known as the Westinghouse Science Talent Search.
Congratulations. That is a very, very big deal. And I just want to know, how did you get interested in space?
Well, I really love solving problems, especially ones that are really big and really interesting, and space is full of them. And I particularly got interested in planets when I learned about predicted planet 9 in our own solar system. So these were researchers at Caltech that were finding planets or predicting planets with math. And I was so interested in that, I wanted to know whether that would be possible in other solar systems.
That is amazing. Well, today we are sticking to our solar system for the debate, and I want to check in with you just before we get started. Do you have strong feelings about Jupiter or Venus already?
I have some feelings about Jupiter, mostly because of an experience I had with my own research. My first iteration of my research, I was trying to do it with basically practicing with our own solar system. And let's just say I sort of forgot to include Jupiter in my research, and it led to some interesting results that I did not catch until the very end. But, you know, it's become a positive thing for me. So I think, you know, it's very balanced, and I think I'll be able to be impartial for this debate.
Well, excellent. I'm sure our debaters will be very happy to hear that. So do you ever get into debates with your friends or family?
Yeah, we definitely get into debates. You know, it's good to share your ideas and practice, you know, testing them out against other people's.
So when you do have debates with your friends or family, what is your strategy for winning?
I always try to make sure that my arguments are fact-based. As a scientist, I like having a lot of data so that I can see the trends, see the impacts, and I like to have, you know, a lot of data and facts to back up my arguments.
All right, well, let's meet our stellar debaters. Here to rep that gassy giant Jupiter, it's Kasha Patel.
Hello.
Kasha, in just one sentence, why is Jupiter the planet Earthlings should root for?
Because it's the biggest planet out there that we know of in our solar system.
And now, arguing for our too-hot-to-inhabit next-door neighbor Venus, it's Tommy McNamara.
Hello, I'm excited to be here.
Tommy, why is Venus the coolest?
It's bright, it's hot, it's full of volcanoes. What's not to love?
Excellent. Before we fire up our engines for liftoff, let's review the four rounds of debate. First up, it's the Declaration of Greatness. It's the debater's chance to present all the coolest facts about their side. Round two is the micro round. It's a creative challenge that the debaters prepared for in advance. Then it's the sneak attack, a different surprise challenge every episode. And the last round is the final six, when both teams have to sum up all the things that make their side great in just six words. After each round, Anna will award a point to the debater that she thinks did the best, and she won't reveal a winner until the very end. But hey, you might have a different opinion, so keep track of your points while you're listening. You can download a custom scorecard now and cast your vote after the episode, all at smashboom.org. All right, Anna, are you ready to decide which is cooler, Venus or Jupiter?
Yes, I'm ready.
And how about you, debaters? Are you feeling confident and ready?
Yes, very confident.
Yes, very excited.
Very good, because it's time for our first round.
Declaration of Greatness.
Both debaters have done their homework and they're about to drop some deep space knowledge on us. We flipped a coin, and Tommy, you're up first. Let's hear your Declaration of Greatness for Team Venus.
Esteemed judge, I stand before you today with a simple argument. Not only is Venus a better planet than Jupiter, Venus is the greatest planet in the entire solar system. First of all, let's talk looks. Venus is the most beautiful planet, so beautiful that it was named after the Roman goddess of love and beauty. Venus is so beautiful that all the way back in the 17th century BC, Babylonians started charting its movements, which is basically the ancient astronomer equivalent of following it on Instagram.
Did you see what Venus is doing in the sky?
You mean looking amazing all the time?
Yeah. Is it possible to be in love with a planet?
If it's Venus, then yes. Very much yes.
The reason it's so visually appealing is that it's the brightest object in our solar system after the sun and the moon. The clouds of Venus reflect 70% of the sunlight that reaches it, more than any other planet. It's so bright that many people have confused it for a star, earning it the nicknames Morning Star and Evening Star. Venus has real star power. Earth has a special connection with Venus. In fact, Venus is often referred to as Earth's sister planet because the two have a ton in common. Both are terrestrial planets, which means that they're made of hard rock and metals. Both are similar in size. Both like taking long walks on the beach. Scientists believe that billions of years ago, Earth and Venus had similar climates. But let's just say the two planets grew up to form their own identities. How? Well, I'll let them explain it.
I'm Venus.
And I'm Earth.
We have a lot in common. In fact, sometimes we even finish each other's
solar systems. We're total twinsies. We have similar mass and density, and we're both close to the sun.
But I'm, like, really close to the sun. So, I'm hot.
Stop bragging.
No, like, really hot. I'm talking over 800 degrees Fahrenheit.
OMG, how?
Okay, so, first of all, I get much closer to the sun in my rotation. During Earth's rotation, it's an average of 92.96 million miles from the sun. But during my rotation, the average is only 67.24 million.
These numbers are giving me brain freeze.
I could use some of that. My atmosphere is mostly made up of carbon dioxide, also known as CO2, which causes a greenhouse effect. Basically, my atmosphere traps heat and light from the sun, and that's why our climates are so different. Plus, I'm covered in sulfuric clouds, which make it hard to see my surface.
Hot and mysterious? You're right, Venus. We are different. Does this mean we're not twinsies?
Let's just say we're fraternal.
The climate isn't the only thing that makes Venus unique. Venus rotates counterclockwise, unlike every other planet in the solar system. It also rotates very slowly, like rush hour traffic on a holiday weekend slow. Each trip around the sun takes Venus 225 Earth days. Another thing that sets Venus apart is that it doesn't have any moons or rings. It doesn't need the extra flare. What Venus does have is volcanoes. Venus has more volcanoes than any other planet in the solar system. Volcanoes are to Venus what Starbucks are to Earth.
Yeah. Could I get a double venti volcano with extra magma?
Coming right up!
It may sound like nothing could ever survive on Venus, but some scientists have a different idea. Last year, an international group of scientists published a study saying they believe the lower cloud layer of Venus could have favorable conditions for microbial life. What I'm saying here is some scientists believe Venus could have cloud aliens. Since Venus used to have a climate similar to Earth, the scientists hypothesize that life could have begun on the surface of Venus, then migrated up to the clouds about 30 miles up in the atmosphere. Are you freaking out? I'm freaking out. I'm not the only one who loves Venus. Venus has been admired and depicted in cultures for millennia, and not just in science fiction. Venus is actually one of the items in the sky in the painting Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh. You may not know it by name, but you can picture it. A dreamy, swirly oil painting of a city at nighttime under the light of the stars. Let me say that again for the folks with one ear. Venus is in Van Gogh. Venus was also written about by some of the best poets of all time. Robert Frost, Alfred Lord Tennyson, Homer, Virgil. But hey, famous poets aren't the only ones who get to rhyme about Venus. In fact, I'm an aspiring poet myself. So here's a poem I wrote about Venus that I'm debuting on the show today. Venus in the sky, you shine so bright. Temperature at day is same as night. Thousands of volcanoes span your beautiful mass. And you're terrestrial, unlike Jupiter, which is just a bunch of gas. You're family to Earth, we call you our sister, even though your atmospheric pressure would crush us humans like a blister. And sure, your clouds rain sulfuric toxic acid down, but you're our goddess, our queen, you wear the crown. Venus, you shine like our sun and our moon. We hope to hang out with your cloud aliens soon. Please snap.
Facts, history, original poetry. Venus may be small, but this planet knows how to pack a punch. So, Anna, what did you think? What part of Tommy's declaration of greatness impressed you the most?
Yeah, well, it was actually really interesting to learn that it's part of Starry Night. My mother's actually an art teacher, and so I've been looking at Starry Night since I was, you know, a little kid. So to learn that one of my favorite paintings also has Venus in it, that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. And the phrase cloud aliens is going to be stuck in my head forever. Yes. All right, now we're going to give Team Jupiter a chance to respond. Kasia, you have 30 seconds for your rebuttal starting now.
Venus is lame. I just want to say, as a 21st century feminist, there's more to life than looks. It's not just all about how beautiful you are. Also, you said it moves really slow and counterclockwise. That's not cool. You're just confused. That's like a bunch of ballerinas in harmony on stage, but you have one over there just going the wrong way and messing it up for everybody else. You also talk about how cool the volcanoes are. Volcanoes, when they're active, are dangerous. And if they're not active, they just look like a bunch of rocks. That's super boring. You also said that.
And time. Kasia, it's now your turn to deliver a declaration of greatness. Convince us that Jupiter is the solar system's smash boom best.
Welcome, boys and girls, to one of the most anticipated out-of-this-world matchups of this podcast season. Our first contender, around 11 times larger than its opponent, and the largest and gaseous planet in our solar system, nicknamed the Gas Giant, it's Jupiter! Our second contender is...
Wait, this can't be right. Jupiter is going up against this puny planet? Okay. Our second contender is much less notable, but we need it to fill time. It's Venus. Let's get ready to rumble! So this matchup is almost not fair. How can you compare the most powerful planet in our solar system to a planet that most people forget exists? Just by sheer size, Jupiter wins. If you added up the mass of all the other planets in our solar system, Jupiter is still more than twice as large. It weighs about 390 times more than Venus. That's like comparing an elephant to a raccoon. And to be clear, Venus is the trash-eating, rabies-carrying raccoon. Jupiter is also one of the reasons that Venus and Earth, Mercury and Mars for that matter, exist. Don't believe me? Let me tell you a story. It all started 4.6 billion years ago when our solar system was just a swirling cloud of dust and gas. As these materials crashed into each other, they'd form clumps. Eventually, these clumps combined to form bigger and bigger clumps. This is how our sun started to form. When the sun was almost fully formed, it still had leftover material and decided to be a kind friend to other potential planets. The sun said,
I have a lot of dust and gas that I didn't need for my formation. I'll just leave it out here in case anyone else wants to use it. Any takers?
And there was one taker. Just in the same way the sun was formed, this gas and dust material started to condense and become a gas planet. The planet said,
I'll use this to become the biggest planet in the solar system.
And so Jupiter was created from the sun's leftover gas and dust. Jupiter was ecstatic and ventured out into our solar system, but it was so big that it destroyed other new planets forming in its path. That may sound terrible, but the debris from those destroyed baby planets were actually some of the construction materials used to create Venus.
Wow, you mean I owe my existence to Jupiter? Thanks, Jupiter.
These construction materials were also helpful in forming Earth, Mercury, and Mars. Without Jupiter, those planets might never have existed. And the cool thing about Jupiter is it keeps looking after us. Jupiter's gravity acts like a bodyguard for Earth. Remember gravity? It's the force that planets use to draw objects towards their centers. Like if you drop an apple on Earth, it falls to the ground. That's because gravity is pulling it down. Well, Jupiter's gravity is much stronger than Earth's, like 2.5 times stronger. Its gravity actually pulls objects like asteroids or comets away from Earth and can even tear them into shreds. Where sometimes, Jupiter will just let the comet hit it. It's big enough and can take it. If it weren't for Jupiter, Earth would get hit much more frequently by things in space.
Jupiter goes in for the punch and pounds that comet into dust. This gas giant is large and in charge.
Jupiter also helps satellites explore our solar system. Remember when we sent a satellite mission all the way to Pluto a few years ago? Well, the satellite actually stopped by Jupiter to get a speed boost. Imagine Jupiter like a friend who is picking you up and throwing you farther into space. Scientists call this boost a gravity assist. As a spacecraft approaches Jupiter and enters the planet's gravitational field, the spacecraft essentially steals some of Jupiter's momentum and gains a boost of energy that helps shoot it forward. These speed boosters help reduce the duration of a satellite mission and the amount of fuel needed, which saves a lot of money. Jupiter has donated energy to at least 10 different space vehicles in the last 3 decades. And last but not least, Jupiter is the coolest planet because it might just be our greatest chance for finding alien life, and maybe one day in the far, far future, a second home for Earthlings. No, we can't live on Jupiter. In fact, we can't even stand on it. It's a big ball of gas, so we would sink right through and then be crushed by the intense pressure from inside the planet. But Jupiter has more than 75 moons, and some of those might support life. Europa is one of them. Scientists think this ice-covered moon could have the 3 necessary ingredients for life: water, chemistry, and energy. Scientists have been able to study Europa already, but NASA and the European Space Agency are planning additional missions to study this moon in the next few years. Picking Jupiter is a no-brainer. It's been around for a long time, protecting Earthlings and helping us explore the outer reaches of our solar system, and one day might even provide us a new home.
I'm not sure how Venus is going to recover from this fact-based beatdown. This seems like a knockout to me.
Big talk from a big planet. What did you think, Anna? Any memorable moments in there?
Well, I think the gravity assist part is really important because if we're going to go explore planets out on the edge of our solar system, having something to slingshot our spacecrafts further into space is going to be really helpful and is going to continue to be really helpful. So that was very interesting.
That's right. She gets it.
Well, don't worry, Team Venus. We're going to give you a chance to respond. You have 30 seconds for a comeback, and your rebuttal starts now.
Okay, first of all, you said that Venus was forgettable. Anna literally forgot about Jupiter in her research project. So I think I win that one. And okay, this just confirmed everything I think about Jupiter. It's just a big, mean bully, and it's just picking on everyone. It's 75 moons. That's too much. That's greed. That's gluttony. I don't appreciate it, and I don't think it's good. And also, okay, here's something to say. You said that Venus is a raccoon. Well, first of all, raccoons are cool. And second of all, you're the one who was basically made up of
and
the sun's
time.
Vomit. Okay. I'm all fired up now.
The sun's vomit.
For a scientific term, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, that is the end of our first fierce round, which means it's time to award a point. So, Anna, I want you to take a minute to reflect on everything you heard. Think about which side presented the best facts, which side was the most persuasive, but above all, which debater convinced you their planet is the coolest. Listeners at home, you mull it over too, and once you've decided, mark down a point for this round. But, Anna, don't say it out loud.
Okay. I'll keep it secret.
Did you decide, Anna?
I did.
Oof. Was it a hard decision?
It was tough, but I think I landed on the right decision.
Okay. We are going to give our debaters a quick break while we flex our logical thinking skills. Don't go anywhere because...
Smash Boom Best will be right back.
You're watching State of Debate, home to raging rhetoric and awe-inspiring argumentation.
Todd Douglas here, 10-time debate champ, along with my co-host, Taylor Lincoln, who is a 11-time debate champ.
What can I say? My arguments slay. Welp, let's get down to it. Today, we're following a mind-bending debate in Strawberry Point, Iowa, between a pigeon named Linda and a chicken named Sue. They are debating an age-old question.
Listen, Linda, I just read a peer-reviewed academic paper that supports my argument. The egg came first, and then the chicken. I'll email it to you.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense. How can an egg come first when you need a chicken to make one?
Evolutionary biologists explain it like this. At some point, two proto-chickens made it. Then, the egg they made contained the first modern chicken. So the chicken egg came before the chicken.
Psst, nonsense. I guess I shouldn't expect someone who can't even fly to understand things like this.
Holy smokes, that was a big old glaring sunny side up, runny yolk.
Okay, Todd, we get it.
A big old logical fallacy.
Right you are. Logical fallacies are common mistakes people make when debating.
Mistakes that make it easier for your opponent to win.
Indeed, Todd. There are many different types of logical fallacies, and the one we just heard from Linda the Pigeon is called an ad hominem fallacy.
Which is when you insult your opponent instead of addressing their argument.
Correctamundo. Let's hear that ad hominem fallacy again.
I guess I shouldn't expect someone who can't even fly to understand things like this.
Yikes. Ugh. Linda tried to distract from Sue's solid argument by insulting.
Yeesh, no class at all. Let's see how Sue will respond.
That is a very rude thing to say. Besides being completely irrelevant to this debate, let's get back on topic. How do you respond to biologists who say that the egg coming first makes evolutionary sense? Do you have any scientific studies or expert opinions to support your claim?
Hold on. I just need to Google something. You see, what I'm trying to say is...
Well, there you have it, folks. Ad hominem fallacies don't win debates.
Too true, Taylor. Better to come armed with facts and figures than personal insults.
We'll catch you next time on...
State of Debate.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
Smash. Boom. Best.
I'm Molly Bloom, and this is Smash Boom Best, the show about showdowns. Emery from Denver, Colorado, sent us this fantastic debate idea.
My debate is lettuce versus spinach.
We'll hear from Emery again at the end of the show to hear who Emery thinks should win. And if you have an epic debate idea, we want to hear it. You can visit smashboom.org to share. Now it's time to get back to our celestial showdown.
Venus versus Jupiter.
Yep, our debaters really brought the heat in round one. Are you ready for your next bout, Tommy and Kasia?
Yeah!
Bring it on.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Micro round.
We sent our debaters this challenge in advance. It's called the Ultimate Getaway. We asked Tommy and Kasia to sell us on the idea of a vacation to their planet. What are the amenities? How about the must-see sites? Local cuisine? To get a point, they'll need to convince Anna that an excursion to their planet is the trip of a lifetime. Tommy went first in round one, so Kasia, you're up. Get us jazzed about jetting off to Jupiter.
Gladly. Are you looking for a place to escape all your homework, house chores, and podcast listening? Don't just pick any old planet to vacation on. Pick the one that will make all of your friends jealous, Jupiter. With its mix of red, orange, and yellows, Jupiter provides the most beautiful landscape you will ever see in person. Depending on the weather, the colors will change, so every picture you take could look different. You'll see white spots if there are cool storms, brown spots if there are warm ones, and red spots if there are really hot storms. It's like a planet-sized mood ring.
OMG, this lighting is amazing. Let me take a selfie in this storm.
As you fly over the planet, you will also see the famous Great Red Spot, a swirling hot storm on the surface of Jupiter. It is more than twice the size of Earth and has been raging for at least 400 years. The iconic Great Red Spot is like the Grand Canyon of outer space. Everyone instantly recognizes it.
Oh, there it is!
So great, so red.
It's like a beauty mark, but for a planet.
And when you're ready to go into adventure mode, take a ride on the roller coaster called Gravity Assist. As you approach Jupiter, your spacecraft will start to speed up and then you'll be catapulted into outer space where you will sleep on one of the planet's many moons. You can stay on the ice-covered moon known as Europa where you'll have water, may be able to breathe, and have the ultimate vacation getaway of your lifetime.
Oh, that sounds like a pretty good time, Anna. Did Kasia sell you on Jupiter?
That lighting does sound pretty great for those Instagram photos. You might have to go check that out.
All right, it is Tommy's turn to sell us on the newest vacation hotspot. Let's hear what Venus has to offer.
Okay, kids, don't forget your sweaters, your winter coats, your electric blankets, your hand warmers, your...
Does this sound familiar to you? This spring break, why not try something different?
Like what? Hawaii?
Haha, close. This year, take your family to Venus. On beautiful Venus, the temperature never dips below 880 degrees, so that means every day is a beach day. Plus, that temperature never changes, day or night, so all you need to pack is your swimsuit.
Whoa!
That's right, and Venus rotates so slowly that a day on Venus lasts an entire year, which can provide you some much-needed rest and relaxation.
That sounds good to me. I've been under a lot of pressure at work.
No need to worry about that. Here on Venus, the only pressure you'll be under is the crushing atmospheric pressure. That's right, folks. Head on down to Venus, where it's hot, hot, hot. And the only thing lower than our prices is the amount of hydrogen in our atmosphere. Paid for by the Tourism Board for Venus. All tickets non-refundable.
What do you think, Anna? Are you ready to venture to Venus?
Well, it would be nice not to have to pack for all the weather changes. That certainly would make our suitcases a lot lighter. So it's a good thing to consider.
Definitely. So, Anna, now you've heard both sides, and it's time to award a point to just one of them. So think about everything you've heard. Listeners, you can always pause if you need more time to deliberate. Did you decide which vacation package you're going with?
Yes, I did make my decision. I'm ready to pack my bags and get going.
Okay, excellent. Brace yourselves, everybody. The next round is coming in at warp speed.
Sneak attack.
Our third round is a complete surprise for our debaters. Are you two ready to hear your sneak attack challenge?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Your sneak attack is alpha facts. Come up with as many facts as you can about your side for each letter of the alphabet.
Oh, gosh.
You'll have 30 seconds to rattle them off. So this is a tough one. You're just going to do it off the top of your head. So if my side were smash, boom, best, here's how I would do it. A is for attacking opponents is a bad idea. B is for better do your research. C is for creativity is key. D is for debate rules. E is for excite your audience. F is for fact checking is important. We're going to give our debaters a minute to brainstorm while we take a dance break.
Sister Venus, burning bright, acid clouds, hot day and night, cloudy neighbor, darling morning star. Giant Jupiter, big red spot, many, many moons and a core that's hot. Super bright, fifth planet from the sun.
Are you both ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Tommy, Kasia went first last time, so you're up first. I will time you and cut you off when you reach 30 seconds. Let's hear those alpha facts starting now.
A, astronomers love it. They've been charting it since B, Babylonian times. And it's also B, bright, and its atmosphere is full of C, carbon, D, dioxide. E, Earth, is its F, friend, even though it's full of G, greenhouse gases. H, how can I keep talking? With all these facts I've thought about, I don't know. I that's as far as I got.
And time. You really squeezed a lot into those 30 seconds. Kasia, we're going to see how many you can get in just 30 seconds. Your time starts now.
A, apple-colored spot. B, big. C, colossal. D, daunting personality. E, exquisite colors. F, flinging satellite missions into space. G, gigantic gas planet. H, hallelujah, Jupiter was here to create the puny Venus. I, incredible scenery. J, Jupiter is obviously much, much better than Venus. K, Kasia is so cool for picking Jupiter. L,
and time.
I might have not actually gotten to K.
L is for leave me alone.
Well, that was very impressive, both of you. You managed to cram a lot of good arguments in for both planets in just 30 seconds. But now, Anna, it's time for you to award a point. And the judging criteria is totally up to you. Creativity, facts, style, totally subjective. Totally up to you.
Honesty.
This is a hard decision. Those are both really great, especially given how quickly those had to be created.
So, Anna, have you awarded a point for that sneak attack round?
I have. Took some deliberation.
Excellent. Well, good. I'm glad you're being very thoughtful about this important decision. And ready or not, the end is near.
The final six.
Our debaters have one last chance to persuade Anna that their planet is the coolest thing since the Big Bang. Kasia, you're up first this time. Please present us with your six-word closing statement on Jupiter.
Our creator, protector, and future home.
Very nicely done. Okay, Tommy, let's hear your six-word tribute to Venus.
Cloud aliens. Need I say more?
Oh, and there you have it. We've heard four rounds of astronomical arguments for Venus and Jupiter. Now all eyes are on our judge, Anna. She's taking it all in, reflecting on the facts, figures, and smack talk she's heard, and steeling herself to make a very hard decision. Anna, have you marked down your last point?
I have.
Excellent. Listeners, mark down your point for the final six, too. So, Anna, tally up your points and tell us, who are you crowning the Smash Boom Best?
It's tied.
What?
Oh, I know.
What? You slipped her money. This is.
But we have a tiebreaker round just for these occasions. It's our sudden death round. And this one is called Animal Essence. So Kasia and Tommy, you have to answer this question, and Anna is going to decide who gets a point. If your side was an animal, what would it be? describe the animal and why it's so similar to your planet.
I mean, I already picked the animal for Venus earlier, and I stand by that. It's a rabies-carrying raccoon. So.
You don't speak for Venus.
All right. Do you both have an animal in mind?
Yes.
Yes.
Tommy, you're up first.
Venus is a lioness. It's beautiful, regal, may not be the biggest animal, but it's fierce. And it's unlike the Lion King. Venus is a lion queen.
Ooh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I know. That was bad.
Kasha, what is your animal?
I think Jupiter is like a whale, not just because of its size, but because it helps regulate the food chain, just like Jupiter helped regulate all the other planets when it was first being created. And you never look at a whale and not think that's amazing. That's exactly like Jupiter. And it's very majestic. Every whale I've ever seen is always beautiful.
All right. So, Anna, you have to choose between the fierce lioness of Venus and the majestic whale of Jupiter. You can think about it for a second and award your point.
I definitely need some time to think about this.
Who do you feel captured the essence of their planet? Who gets the final point?
Oh, I feel like we need a drum roll or something here.
Drum roll.
The winner of today's debate in the Venus versus Jupiter debate is Jupiter. I have to say, the whale debate did definitely seal the deal because, Jupiter is definitely a majestic planet, just like the whale, and is once again the largest planet in our solar system, just like a whale is the largest organism in the ocean. So appreciated the parallels there, but it was very, very close. Hard fought.
It went to a tiebreaker.
It did.
So can you tell us a little bit about your thinking on the other rounds, like where the different sides won you over?
Yeah, so for the Declaration of Greatness, I really loved the discussion of the formation of our solar system because that's something that's really interesting to me because it's one of the places where gravity plays a really important role in what the solar system looks like today. And I think that, I'm just sort of a gravity nerd. I love thinking about big things that interact. So gravity facts, both with formation and with the gravity assist, those sort of won me over for that round. But I have to say, the arguments for Venus were very creative. I appreciated the micro round with the travel ad for Venus. I'm ready to pack my bags and go. and the way that those alphabets flowed into each other, those alphabet facts, that was very impressive.
Yeah, the alphabet facts were pretty good. I'll give you that, Tommy.
Thank you.
I would just
so humble in victory.
But no, in all seriousness, I didn't actually know that much about Venus, and I didn't know the starry night bit, which was actually very interesting. And the volcanoes on Venus are pretty cool.
Aha, you admit it.
Jupiter may have won gravity nerd Anna over, but maybe Venus persuaded you instead.
Go cast your vote for Team Jupiter or Team Venus at smashboom.org. And you can see who other listeners voted for, too.
That's all for this Cosmic Clash. Smash Boom Best is brought to you by Brains On and American Public Media.
It's produced by Mark Sanchez, Sandon Totten, Molly Bloom, Alyssa Dudley, and Rosie DuPont.
We had engineering help from Veronica Rodriguez, Robert Frazier, and Dan Powell.
And we had production help from Manika Wilhelm, Christina Lopez, and Lauren D.
Brenna Everson is the voice of our hold music, and our announcer is Marley Feuerwerker Otto. We want to give a special thanks to Justin Koo, Taylor Kaufman, Austin Cross, Noah Gregory, Anna Weggle, Alex Baumhart, Chrissy Pease, Will Lager, Ayana Esters, Melanie Ellsworth, Josh Holt, Taka Zen, and Jeffrey Bisoy. Kasha, is there anyone you want to thank today?
I would like to thank all of the space nerds out there who are listening to this right now. I would like to thank Anna. I would like to thank her mentor at NASA Goddard. And I would like to thank Tommy and everyone else involved in this podcast. And I'd like to thank myself.
And what about you, Tommy? Anyone you want to thank?
I would like to thank my 8th grade science teacher, Mr. Van. He's one of my favorite teachers ever.
Oh, that's awesome. Anna, do you want to give a special shout out to anybody?
I'd like to thank my science teachers, especially my science research teacher, Sean Lowe, and my mentors, and everyone who has helped me with my research the many, many last few years. So, yes.
Before we sign off, let's hear some more from Emery. That's the listener that had the idea for a lettuce versus spinach debate. Here's who Emery thinks would win.
I think lettuce would win because it's good, it's yummy, very yummy, healthy, and crunchy.
I like a good crunch. You can send us all your most epic matchups at smashboom.org. Who knows, your idea could end up on the show. Check back next week for another debate battle.
Adios.
Bye.
Aliens would smell good. That's my question. What aliens have body wash?
Well, now I feel like I learned a lot about your personal body odor. We're aliens to someone else, and I think I smell pretty good. So,
the world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.